From NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. The White House push for an overhaul of the financial industry is facing a procedural vote today in the Senate. NPR's Audie Cornish says Senate Democrats need 60 votes to get the bill to the Senate floor.
For weeks, lawmakers have been stuck on certain provisions in the bill, such as a $50 billion fund paid for by the financial industry to liquidate failing firms, as well as powers of a proposed consumer bureau to watch over mortgages, credit cards, and other lending. Other provisions in the bill reach far into the financial system. The proposal would shift regulatory responsibilities, so the Federal Reserve would watch over only the largest financial institutions. Smaller national and state chartered banks would go to other regulators. And the bill tries to tackle the issue of CEO bonuses, with the provision allowing shareholders to weigh in with a non-binding vote on executive pay. Democrats will need 60 votes to overcome any GOP attempts to block the bill from coming to the Senate floor. Audie Cornish, NPR News, the Capitol.
The federal government says it's moving ahead with plans to begin selling shares of Citigroup, stock it owns as part of the financial bailout. The Treasury Department says they'll be sold through Morgan Stanley. No word yet on when that'll happen. The first Citigroup stock being sold will cover up to 1.5 billion shares. At least two winning candidates are being disqualified from last month's parliamentary elections in Iraq. That follows a review from a special court in Baghdad. It's still unclear how much of a shakeup this could bring to the overall results. In Afghanistan, bombings in Kandahar have killed at least two people. NPR's Jackie Northam in Kabul says the target was a police convoy.
Government officials in Kandahar say the bombs exploded simultaneously outside of police headquarters, just as a convoy of policemen were passing by the building. One was a roadside bomb. The other was caused by explosives concealed on a motorcycle. Kandahar is the birthplace and spiritual heartland of the Taliban. The security situation there, already serious, has been further unraveling recently. Insurgents have attacked mid- to high-level security and government officials, including the deputy mayor, who was gunned down last week as he prayed in a mosque. The bombings and killings come as the U.S. and its Western allies prepare to launch a military offensive into Kandahar. Most of the 30,000 additional combat troops ordered to Afghanistan by President Obama will take part in the Kandahar operation this summer. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Kabul.
Tensions are running high today in Yemen after Britain's ambassador escaped a suicide attack. A man wearing an explosives belt attacked Ambassador Timothy Trollot's armored vehicle in a poor neighborhood of Sana'a as he was on his way to work. So far, no claim of responsibility. The twin brother of Poland's late president says he hopes to become president himself. Jarosław Kaczynski announced today he'll be running in the June election. This is NPR News. Israel says its special forces stormed a house in the West Bank today, killing a senior member of the Islamist Hamas movement. Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem reports Israel believes he was responsible for a series of attacks on Israeli soldiers and civilians.
An Israeli army spokesman said troops surrounded the home of a relative of 40-year-old Ali Ismail Ahmed Sawiti and called on him to surrender. They said he refused and opened fire on the troops, who fired back and killed him. A Hamas website said that Sawiti, a member of the Hamas military wing, had been on the run for 8 years. The Israeli army said he was responsible for 5 shooting attacks, including one in which an Israeli soldier was killed 6 years ago. The incident comes the day after Hamas, which controls Gaza, released an animated film about an Israeli soldier it has held captive in Gaza for almost 4 years. For NPR News, I'm Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem.
Officials in Mexico say the country's violent drug cartels appear to be changing tactics. The country's interior secretary says back-to-back ambushes of government convoys signal a shift toward attacking police and government targets rather than rival gangs. Nearly 23,000 people have been killed in Mexico since a government crackdown on drug gangs began at the end of 2006. Authorities say 90% of those killed were the victims of disputes between rival drug gangs. Mexico's acting federal police chief was among those killed by gangs in May of 2008. There's more cleaning up underway this morning in parts of Mississippi and Alabama today. Tornadoes destroyed hundreds of homes across a wide area. 10 people were killed in Mississippi alone. I'm Dave Mattingly, NPR News in Washington.